Hey everyone, before we kick this episode off, I urge everyone listening to like and subscribe to our podcast, wherever you may get your podcast from. So if you listen to us on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating, or also subscribe to us on Spotify. And I urge all of our listeners to head to our website, and you can get more than just our podcast from there. We have news stories all the time there. We have feature articles there. So head to tnpmedia.au. That's tnpmedia.au. All right, without further ado, we'll get stuck into the podcast.
Talk and Power, your motorsport and motoring radio show. Now on 88.5 FM, the Valley comes alive. And podcasting across iTunes and talkandpower.com.au.
This is the Talk and Power podcast, episode 186. I'm tired of opening by saying, okay. Have you noticed every time I open a podcast, I say, okay, it's episode 186. Yeah.
I'll notice it now.
This would be the 3-liter episode then.
I'm joined by co-host Simon Gonzo Travellini there, Johnny Lardy over there, and Todd Brinkworth over there, and I'm Nick DeChembry. Welcome, guys. How are we?
Tired.
Tired?
Yeah.
Big weekend.
Yeah, I think we all agree before we started recording that we're all tired and sore, worn out.
Tired and stressed.
Yeah.
What are you stressed about?
Just work stuff. It's all right. It's not all, you know, happy days and yellow machines every day.
Monday, Tuesday.
Work's the best place to be for me.
You enjoy it, don't you?
Yeah.
I actually had the best 2 weeks because I actually, for the first time in 10 years, I've had an employee.
Who? Oh, yeah, you have two.
Yeah.
You have two.
First time, yeah, but like properly, like started, you know, normally just here and there, you bring your kids to this fortnight or the last fortnight. Yeah, it was good to have him there. We booked jobs based on having him there. It was good.
All right. Oh, that's good. Good on you, Johnny. Well done, mate.
Oh.
I'll just give a quick update from the Motor Neurone fundraiser we did a couple of weeks ago. So that was a great success, over $4,000 raised that day. So big thanks to everyone that helped us out with that, in particular Ryko Oil Filters, Sam and Josh for coming on board with that as well. And also the Stirling Junior Football Club and the Stirling Seniors, the Stirling Football Club as well. And of course, Sue and all the team at Racing for NMDI. It's great. And everyone, Perth Car Club and all the other cars, Northern Steel as well, helped out with it as well. So big thanks to them, as well supported. I thought I'd just give a quick rundown on Max Pinjarra as well. So if you haven't heard that episode, go back and have a listen to it. Another great weekend down in Pinjarra. I absolutely love going down there. And congratulations to Richie. Stewie Bond was also down there emceeing the day, and the whole committee down there, they did a magnificent job. I really enjoy that event.
Would have been good to hear those two back together again.
Yeah, well, we had Richie on the podcast, but Stewie was pretty busy, so yeah, we didn't manage to get him in, but we'll try and get them together next year. Or maybe we can do it even before that. We don't need to wait till next year to have those guys on the podcast, I guess.
One of my customers, top 10, I think. Top 10, top sassy lady. She got top 10, top hot rod.
Yep.
At the show.
Yeah. Some pretty formidable cars there. It's great. It's well supported by the locals as well. When I say the locals, I mean the sort of that Mandurah, that Peel and Murrayshire, Murray region really support that event really well. So congrats to them. And I know this man won't probably mention it, but I thought I'd mention it here. Congratulations to this man. Also Rob Harvey, Kate Harvey and Josh Jacob. So Simon of Allfast, Rob and Kate Harvey of Monster Talk, and Josh Jacob. It's his car, wasn't it?
It's Rob's car.
Oh, that's Rob's. Sorry, of course it is. It's the black one, yep. They now hold the ZF world record, 834 at 171 mile an hour. That was at Heathcote, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. Yep. They did have the record at 880 a while back, and then one of their customers, a car that runs out of the CNV Performance Workshop, took the record at 860. Still our converter, still our Rob's transmission, but he knew that it had it in it. it was just very difficult to get it done at the Motorplex because you really need that radial style track prep.
Mm.
And yeah, the car was flawless. It rolled out some 80s and 70s earlier on and went a 43 the night before and then rolled out the 30. The 60 foot was incredible. It was like a 137, which yeah. I think the car is 3,800 pounds.
It's a full body car, that one.
Yeah, it's a full street car. Yeah. They still drive it occasionally.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they drove it to All Ford Day a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they did. The That's right. That's right.
Rob's post, he had like eight of those transmissions just lined up. I don't know whether they're for customers or not, on his Facebook, on his social media. Yeah, he just had them like bang, bang, bang.
The main business, that like the two guys that work there do the installs of the intercoolers and so on and build the engines. And Rob focuses, and his wife, they focus on building the transmissions. Oh, wow. And he does the tuning. So they basically do the tuning and get that side of it done during the day, and then at night when they go home, that's when they assemble the transmissions at home.
Oh, yeah. Maybe if I mention it on air, it might be more of a reason for Rob to actually call me back. So we are.
He's on the plane.
No, I haven't called him recently, but I have called him a while. So we're going to be doing. We want to do a collaboration with Rob. So we're in the throes of organising that. Rob, call me back. Anyway, we'll work on that. We're going to do a collaboration with Rob.
I'm supposed to do his Ute at some point as well, I think.
Okay. There you go. We can do a three-way collaboration. So I know our friends at Ryko are really keen to do a collaboration with Rob as well. So
you know, he was really good on camera. I thought
he's very good everywhere.
The 1320 not 1320 full boost. Mm. I'll get banned now. The full boost video that he did, he was really, really good. Like, really composed, cool as.
Yeah, yeah. We've spoken with Rob before on the podcast, briefly. So, but anyway, we're working towards that anyway. We'll disclose more when I know Rob's been very busy, so I've spoken with Kate a few times, but we're working on that with the team at Ryko as well. So, they're greatly appreciated. Todd, yourself, you been up to anything?
Just away for work.
Okay.
Nothing too exciting.
Yep.
So, and yeah, starting a few, well, the first of about four trips over east. Mm. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Nothing too exciting there yet.
But yep.
Next trip away, I've got some stuff planned, car and motorsport related. So I might have some bits and pieces to bring back from that. So.
Okay. Oh, cool. Cool. And Johnny, you tell us you're off to Motorex in a couple of weeks.
Yes. Yep. I think it's the 5th.
Yep, you're actually off next week.
Yep, next week.
For some team, some team that plays some other team.
Reigning premiers.
Yeah.
Reigning premiers.
Didn't win on the weekend.
No. We didn't lose either.
Anyway, so you're off to the big Anzac.
We do Anzac Day, and then I didn't realise, but yeah, Motorex is the weekend, the following weekend, so I'm going to stay on, yeah. And I'm probably going to be helping out with the Deluxe Rod Shop.
Okay.
I'll be going to their workshop and staying with Steve Aldrich and his crew for the week, and then I'll follow them back to Motorex and help them with all their cars that they're preparing for that show. So that'll be cool. It'll be something new and a different perspective from. I mean, I've done that before, but not that angle. So it'd be something new for me.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Sounds very exciting. I don't know if anyone got any feedback. The Triple AE show or the aftermarket. I should probably not talk about
Automotive this. Aftermarket.
Yeah, Automotive Aftermarket Association. Yeah, it was on this last week as well in Melbourne. So, but from all reports, I did speak with a few people that went. They said it was biggest one ever. Wow. Biggest crowd, biggest number of attendees, and biggest number of exhibitors ever. So. That's cool. The aftermarket scene seems to be flourishing. All right. It's hard to segue after that.
Yeah,
after
wow.
That statement. How about we get stuck into drag racing?
I want to see the spreadsheet.
Do you want to do the spreadsheet now?
Yeah. All right,
let's do the spreadsheet.
What's the spreadsheet
now?
For?
I've done a spreadsheet.
I didn't understand it.
I thought that was just for you.
It is. It's just for me. But I sent it in the email so I could print it out here.
Ah.
The printer here. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Like, if we're going to talk about the spreadsheet, then we have to talk about the Riverland Nationals. So let's cover the Riverland Nationals first. Then the spreadsheet makes a hell of a lot more sense. Riverland Nationals was held last weekend And the winners in Top Fuel was Phil Lamartina. In Top Door Slammer, congratulations to John Zappia there. In Pro Stock, it's great to see Pro Stock. I haven't watched much Pro Stock lately. Tyrone Tremaine. And in Pro Stock Motorcycles, Morris Allen. Congratulations to them. So... it was an did anyone catch the event at all? Because it was on 7+. It was... Now, when I saw this on the surface, I said, this is a really, really bad decision by NDRC. They ran it on the same weekend as Gather Round in... So you had at the Bend, which is... How far is the Bend out of Adelaide? It's about an hour and a bit.
Oh, no, I think it's closer than that. It's not that far.
Yeah, anyway.
Everything in Adelaide is 20 minutes away.
Nothing's far from Adelaide.
Yeah.
I think it's... Anyway, it was in at Tailem Bend.
What was the Gather Round?
Gather Round, AFL Gather Round. So every single AFL match was played in Adelaide or Norwood or Mount Barker.
Valley.
Yeah. So they brought football to one place. So,
but they had like a record crowd.
I know. So once again, proven wrong. Thanks, Nick. I was proven wrong in a massive way. So maybe that's the key. Maybe, you know how I'm always saying like Darwin needs to have an event like before or after.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it needs to be on the same weekend, just about, because this was a phenomenal attendance to this event. But I think after anyone that went to this event for the first time would definitely be addicted to drag racing after this. I just thought it was an absolutely amazing event, and I urge people to go back and watch it. Did you guys see my comment to Peter Adderton?
No, I missed that.
I wrote a comment to Peter Adderton, and I suggested that he... Because he says that's it, he's done with motorsport, advertising, and I said, trying to sell drag race, and I said, I urge you to go back and have a watch of the NDRC round from the river. And I had one single like, and I said, I wonder who liked that. Put the mouse over there, Peter Adderton.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Read my statement and liked it.
Now I'm, okay, I've got a different opinion of Peter.
So, anyway... Anyway,
fire's burning there, literally.
It is. It is. What I wanted to point out, and I'm pretty sure I've done my maths right, and I'm just going to compare Top Fuel to...
Every time you do that, you know.
It makes a loud noise, sorry. I'm going to compare. I'm doing like Caroline Wilson after... What's that segment?
Please, you shouldn't even speak that woman's name. Come on.
So what's that? The arrow. Arrows.
You know where the arrow's got to go.
Yeah. She does that with the papers afterwards. Anyway, all right, I digress.
Yeah.
I think it's a football thing.
You lost me. I'm having flashbacks to Yarn Event from Current Affair, but hey, you know.
Yarn Event from Current Affair?
Yeah. I have taken the data out of... The three rounds of Top Fuel racing at the Riverland Nationals, and I have compared them to the final, the semi-final, and the quarters in Top Fuel on the same weekend in Arizona. Now, one thing I didn't check was the altitude difference between the two. So I apologize. So I don't know how high Arizona is compared to the Bend. In terms of altitude, could be a difference. Todd's going to check that while
you keep you keep talking.
Anyway,
you do the job.
I got rid of the furfies. When I say the furfies, I removed. So, like in Top Fuel for NHRA, I removed like the 9 second pass from Antoine Brown. Got rid of that because that doesn't help the cause. All right, that's a bit of a outlier. But I also removed the 7 second pass from
silence. Do you need my glasses, Nick?
I've got them here. Who ran that? Wayne Newby. Sorry, Wayne. I had to remove your 8 second pass there. Anyway, so I've removed all the anomalies, right? So in the US, we had an average reaction time. So I compared reaction time. Simon's yawning as I say this.
No, I'm genuinely tired.
I'm comparing reaction time to average ET and average mile an hour, and average margin of victory. Okay? So in the US, we had an average reaction time of 0.07 seconds. In Australia, we had an average reaction time of 0.067 seconds. So a better reaction time to the Australians.
Gee, that's hard to believe.
Yeah. In the US, we had an average ET of 3.93 seconds. That's over the 1,000 foot. Okay, 1,000 foot.
That's not normal. That's slow for the US.
It is. And if you look through the data, that is pretty slow. But I've removed the 9-second pass from Antron Brown, and I've removed the 7-second pass from Billy Torrens too. I've taken them out. They are not in that data. In Australia, our average ET was 3.79. So we had a quicker ET, average ET. The average mile an hour in the US was 301 mile an hour. Our average mile an hour is 315. This is the same event on the same weekend.
Yeah, there's got to be anomalies there.
Yeah, I removed the low mile an hour as well. I removed the, where is it here, the 85 mile an hour for Antron Brown, and I removed the 67 mile an hour for Billy Torrens. They're out of there. They're not in there.
At that meeting, was that the meeting that Cara Macinas' granddaughter was racing at? Because there must, for the mile an hour average to be that low and the ET average to be that slow, there must have been some, you know, relatively small teams.
No, I'm only using, as I said, I'm only using the final, semi-final and quarter-final. So I'm only using data from Justin Ashley, Sean Langdon, Tony Stewart, Steve Torrens, Billy Torrens, Sean Reed, Antron Brown, and Doug Coletta, but as I said, I've removed...
Was Sean Reed the slow car that pulled the average down?
No, he wasn't. Sorry, no, you know what? I've left him in. So it was a 4.8.
Because that just doesn't add up.
But I removed Antron Brown's, and I also removed... who was the other one I removed? And I removed Billy Torrens's. Well, that's what they ran, you know what I mean? So... And then margin of victory in the US, it was 0.26 seconds. In Australia, it was 0.0365 seconds. So our margin of victory here was a lot narrower.
Yeah, but that's because you left that four-second run in.
So the four-second one had it, yeah, okay. All right, good point. Okay, all right. Well, that's what they did. But I have removed... the outliers there. There are other outliers. So I'm comparing five runs to five runs. The data is the data. All I'm trying to say is that in Australia, we're batting above average is what I'm saying.
Is it just normal now? Is there some sort of high level that we should just expect from
maybe
Australians now?
I think, well, look, pretty much all of those classes, pro stock, we run our own deal here. But, you know, if you had the budget, Top Fuel and Nitro Funny Car has become a cookie cutter class because they're all running the same stuff. You know, Paul Lee talked about this with his Nitro Funny Car program. At the end of last season, he spoke to Medlin. Medlin wanted to move on to other things. And Medlin said, but I'll still be involved. And, you know, he put forward Johnny Lindbergh, which is a top alcohol championship, and I mentioned that in the notes, as a potential crew chief for Paul Lee, and gave him a list of parts to buy. So he went and bought 10 sets of heads, bought the latest clutches, bought the latest fuel pumps, et cetera, et cetera. And now he's, you know, running with the best of them. He's no longer in the top half of the field now. So you can do that. If you've got the budget, you can, you know, just buy the same parts, get the tuning advice. I believe that if you spend $1 million with Alan Johnson on cylinder heads, intake manifolds, blocks and so on, that you'll get his phone number and you can send him the data and he'll look at it and go, yeah, do this. You know, so it should be like that. But I think that Nick's example is a very, very poorly put together. What you've achieved there is something a politician would do, because that was on an exceptional track in Australia, and that was on, Arizona's not known to be one that they run numbers on.
Well, some of the Todd's just pulled some further data here, which actually lays, goes in your favour as well. But anyway, it is what it is. Anyway, so that track at Arizona is 3,074 feet above sea level, so that's 936 metres. Thank you, Todd. And Tullum Bend is 71 feet, which is 21 metres. So basically but sea level.
Listen, don't get me wrong, right? Because I think that what we achieve here is incredible. And I take my hat off to all the people involved because the expense, you know, it's not double. It is triple what it costs to run over there. And over there you're running for, you know, it's not great money, but it's still 50 grand for the win and I think 250 for the championship, which, what do you get here? You get a half a sandwich.
Dinner voucher.
And an orange slicer.
Yeah.
Look, I just think, the point I was trying to prove, I wasn't trying to drag the NHRA down. It certainly wasn't, if that's how I came across, it wasn't what I intended. And the point that they're a kilometre above sea level and that event was at sea level practically, and I think the weather would probably have it below sea level.
And there's another thing which I'm gonna say this because so there's something that I've worked on with all my customers for the last 20 years, and that's the percentage oxygen in the air because that gets missed a lot.
Yeah.
And the percentage oxygen at the bend was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So you know, you got corrected altitude, and then you throw the percentage oxygen in there, and
it was probably below sea
level. Below sea level, exactly.
Yep. Okay.
So anyway. You're saying it's perfect conditions, yeah?
Good conditions.
You could see, but it was perfect conditions. Yeah. You could see those cars, everyone, like the fuelers were just like they were sticking to the track like you wouldn't read about, and just, you know, just motoring down there. It was phenomenal. It really was. It was a great event. It looked like a great event. I'll just go through the championship standings as it stands as we speak right now. So with three rounds to go in top fuel, Wayne Newby leads them. Phil Lamartina in second place and Damien Harris in third. In top door slammer with two rounds to go, John Zappia is leading. Russell Taylor and Ronnie Palumbo in third place. In pro alcohol with two rounds to go, Russell Mills in first place, Daniel Reed in second place, and Chris Hargrave in third. In Nitro Funny Car, Morris McMillan in first place, Justin Walsh in second place, and Brandon Gospel in third. They're
tied on points.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, my apologies. Morris and Justin are tied on points.
You could say Russell Mills walked away with it this season.
Russell was pretty much secured that.
What is that thing?
That long black car, yes.
It's a shoebox with wheels under it.
It's a front engine dragster.
Front engine funny car thing.
Oh, that's that oblong
thing. That ugly thing that is, Anyway,
with one round to go, I would suggest that Benny Stevens has wrapped it up in Top Fuel Motorcycle on 688 points. Second place, Greg Jurak, and third place, Damien Muscat. In Pro Stock, Robert Deckert in first place. He's got a firm grip of that as well. Rick Chilton in second place and Chris Soldatus in third there. In Pro Stock Motorcycle, Luke Crowley in first place. I'd say he's got that wrapped up. That's only got one round to go. Tony Frost in second place and Scott White in third place. So I'd say he's got that. Luke's got that wrapped up in Pro Stock Motorcycle. And in Pro Mod, Craig Burns looks like he's got a firm grip on that. Joe Gauci in second place and Rob Campese in third. So congratulations to all those and to everyone participating in the NDRC. I think that's one event that got me by surprise, and it's good luck to the team in Adelaide that put that event together. It was a magnificent event. It was a good return for them to get there and put on a magnificent show. Do you want to move on to... Do you want to do the... while we're here.
Yeah, while we're here, while we're here. Well, Nick's just dissed out on the NHRA.
I didn't like you dissed out on Ryko.
I'll try and bring him back to life somehow. So since we were last on, we've had a lot of action in the NHRA. You might remember that the Winter Nationals was a rainout. Actually, it was a hail out.
Yep.
The completion of the event was run during qualifying at the Arizona Nationals at Firebird Motorsport Park in Phoenix, Arizona. Which, as Nick has pointed out, is about a kilometre above sea level.
So 936
meters. Anyway, top fuel saw Justin Ashley taking a whole shot win over Tony Schumacher with an 023 light. So, are you sure you did those sums right? Because I don't know anyone here that goes like 023.
Yeah.
Did they roll in with the second light off?
No, that's,
anyway, the
data's correct.
Tony Schumacher with an 023 light 380 run over a quicker 377 with an 081 light in a great marquee matchup. I don't know if you guys are aware, but these two teams were once under the Skag banner until the CEO of Skag, Randy Glade, decided to pull the sponsorship from Joe and Kathy Maynard owned Tony Schumacher driven car and buy into the Justin Ashley driven entry. The rivalry that's been created is akin to the snake and the mongoose, and I'm sure we're going to see more of these matchups moving forward. And it's great to see Tony in a final. It seems strange seeing him in the middle order after so many years of dominance. Gone are the days when a 0.1 light was the norm in top fuel. Justin Ashley has just been nailing those 020, 030 lights and showing the old-timers how it's done. Speaking of old-timers, John Force picked up his 156th career NHRA victory, taking down Matt Hagan in yet another hole shot win. But don't be fooled by the numbers, Nick. Force has been playing the deep staging game for a while, and it shows in his 60-foot time, 043 slower to 60 than Matt Hagan. We all grew up watching the Force-Coil combination destroying the opposition for many years, and everyone loves the top-end interviews that the Master of Mirth gives. And in the Factory Hot Rods, another marquee matchup with Dallas Glenn also taking a whole shot win over none other than Eric Enders. Now, it's not something you see every day. It's normally Erica dishing it out to the boys. Great to see the KB Titan Hendrick team lining up against the Elite Motorsport team, and just shows you how close pro stock is these days. The finals for the Arizona Nationals went down like this. Sean Langdon, the driver for Kalita team, the Kalita team's second car, taking a convincing win over repeat finalist Justin Ashley. Wire-to-wire win with Langdon taking a 005 margin on the starting line and extending that margin to 094 at the finish line, with a 376 taking down a 384. The Coletta team hinted that now that they'd won a championship for Doug, they were focusing on Langdon's car. With the fuel father, Alan Johnson, advising on both cars, I'm not going to be surprised if they get it done for Langdon this season. But don't count out Justin Ashley. He's got what it takes, and everything gets interesting after the countdown starts. In funny car, Austin Proc proved that the decision to take him out of the dragster and put him in Robert Height's car was the right one. Robert will be out for at least this season with some health-related issues being attended to. Proc, with his dad tuning and engineer brother turning wrenches on the John Force Racing entry, proved his salt at the pre-season Pro Superstar Shootout by winning the funny car class. But this win seals his place as an NHRA funny car event winner. Proc, with an 064 light over Alexa DeGioia's 099, never looked back and blasted a 3.952 over Alexa's 4.049. This makes Proc the 19th driver in the NHRA's 73-year history to take a win in both Nitro categories. And this win makes back-to-back wins for John Force Racing. It also means that there has been a John Force Racing car in every funny car final since the start of the season. The Factory Hot Rods was an all-KB Titan Hendrick final, with Greg Anderson taking a wire-to-wire win over teammate Dallas Glenn. Anderson was first out of the gate with an 022 light over Glenn's 033 and never looked back, with Glenn losing 300s by 330 foot. Anderson taking the win, 6582 to a 6618. Great to see Anderson taking his 103rd win in a great weekend for Hendrick Motorsports team, having taken first, second and third the same weekend at Martinsville.
Sorry to interrupt you, but he seemed quite relieved there at the top end interview, didn't he? I saw that race and I saw his interview afterwards, and he was kind of relieved to have that win on the same weekend that
they came first, second, and third.
That's right.
But, you know, it was his teammate in the other lane, it was going to be a Hendricks win.
Rick would have been impressed.
Yeah. So that brings us to this weekend's race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. This is the first of two back-to-back four-wide events on the NHRA Tour. I don't know about you guys, but I have this on my bucket list. Imagine the noise of four top fuel or nitro funny cars.
It'd be crazy, eh?
It'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Running side by side. That would just be insane. Anyway, in top fuel, Doug Coletta took out Justin Ashley, Steve Torrance, and none other than Tony Stewart. This technically marks Tony Stewart's first final, and it was anyone's race with the finish line margin between first and fourth only 5 metres. Now, that sounds like a lot, but you remember these guys are going 336, I think, was Doug's mile an hour, which is massive. So that's a close race in anyone's... in anyone's eyes. Doug's win cements the Coletta team as the ones with the performance advantage in 2024. But Ashley's runner-up is showing he has the consistency with 36 points between him and Sean Langdon, who is leading the points. Steve and Billy Torrance in third and fourth. Anton Brown rounding out fifth spot. Doug Coletta, Tony Schumacher, Brittany Force, Tony Stewart, who will be running for Rookie of the Year this year, by the way, and Josh Hart in 10th. This is important because only the top 10 get to move forward and the points will be reset after the US Nationals at the end of August. In funny car, Ford Mustang standout Bob Tasker III, the great grandson of the man that coined the phrase, win on Sunday, sell on Monday, took home the Wally over Austin Proc. Ron Capps and Matt Hagen in fourth. Ironically, Matt Hagen had the quickest elapsed time with a 3.895, but Tasker's 034 light sealed the deal, with Hagen's 066 being the slowest of the quad. The points tell a different story, with J.R. Todd from the Coletta camp leading by just 2 points over young Austin Proc, who is also vying for Rookie of the Year. John Force in third, Matt Hagen fourth, Ron Capps rounding out the top five. Then it's Tasker and a very much improving Paul Lee, who has, as I mentioned earlier, top alcohol standout Johnny Lindbergh as his new crew chief. Alexa DeGioia, Chad Green, Daniel Wilkerson in 10th spot. Some big names not on that list, Cruz Pedregon, Blake Alexander and Terry Haddock, to name a few. Mm. Just shows you how tough competition has become in both Nitro ranks. Pro Stock saw a return to the winner's circle for one of the most prolific drivers to ever dump the clutch in a pro car, Jed Coughlin Jr., taking out teammate Jerry Tucker and Erica Enders, while fourth spot went to KB Titan Hendrick Hendry of Brandon Foster. Brandon went way, way red with a negative 133, while at the other end, Jiggy Jr. pulled an 013, reminiscent of his past. Jig never looked back with a 6.61. Eric getting into trouble before 60 foot. Jerry Tucker just a little slower on the light with an 035 and a 1,000th slower at the big end. Dallas Glenn leads the points with a 4-point margin over Erica Enders. Then Greg Anderson, Jiggy Jr., Christian Quadra making the top five. Then Aaron Stanfield, David Quadra, Troy Coughlin Jr., and Matt Hartford taking the 10th spot. Once again, some big names not in that 10. Still early days in the NHRA season that runs from March to November. We will keep you updated on all the news right here on Talk and Power, unless Nick decides that the NRDC is...
Better. Isn't it interesting? We refer to Jed Coughlin Jr. When you say Jed Coughlin Jr., we think young guy.
No, he's not young.
He's probably older than me, Jed. He would be older than me. He'd be in his 50s now, wouldn't he, Jed?
Take it easy, mate.
But he's not.
He might be older than you, but I don't think he's older than me. Okay.
But anyway, he's not a spring chicken anymore, Jed Coughlin. We should look into that. Todd, can you research that while we're talking?
Jed Coughlin Jr.
Sure.
Age.
In local drag racing this weekend saw the running of the Perth Motorplex Grand Final and the deciding race of many of the championships. As we all know, Casey McClure had the championship wrapped up after her runner-up finish at the Nitro Slam event on the 15th of March and went on to take out the grand final against Norbert Clayton with an 030 light being a bang on dial-in 060 light. Her brother Connor doing the double up, taking out the Top Cop Championship with a runner-up against Madison Brown in a slipping and sliding final with Madison holding on for the win. Great to see the brother and sister McClure combination taking out a championship each. With this being Casey's second and back-to-back from last season, can anyone stop the Casey train?
That's the million-dollar question.
I don't think anyone can. And the Super Street Championship came down to the wire with Steph Gelotto taking out nearest rival Craig Canton and making it back-to-back championships. Steph beat former Australian Championship winner Lisa Garbellini in an all-female final. Steph has been a dominant force in Super Street, with competitors only getting a break when she had some time off to start a family. I'm sure there are a lot of Super Street competitors hoping Matt and Steph decide to have more kids.
Probably Charlie and Christina as well.
Probably. Top sportsman has been the Roger Morehouse and Albie Backranich show this season, and the grand final was no different, with Roger taking the win over a breaking out Albie, but Albie taking the championship over Roger. In Super Sedan, Glenn Sturkenberg took out the championship, but it was Luke Guppy and Ray Lecoq in the finals, with Luke taking the win. And our girl, Michelle Morrison, took the win over Paul Garbellini, but it was Paul who won the modified championship in his rookie season. It was a close-fought battle. Michelle actually won more events than Paul. Paul 2 versus a whopping 5 for Michelle, but Paul just scraped over the line with more points. Great to see Modified coming back with a vengeance. Regular fields of 8 or more cars and a few more joining the Eliminator next season. Comp bike, Daniel Natalato.
How many championships is it for him?
I don't know, but he's just the best.
He is.
Are we ready to call him the GOAT?
He's up there. He's won a few now.
So someone would need to find out how many Mick Sargent won. And compare it.
Yeah, yep.
Because he was considered the GOAT until the Daniel Natalato era. So he took home the win over Rebecca Archer, and in doing so sealed the deal on his Western Australian Championship. Daniel's been a force in comp bike, and he is such a genuine guy. Great to see him win. And anyone is thinking about racing bikes, Dan runs a bike workshop on Wednesday nights. Check it out on Facebook, Street Bike Drag School on Facebook. Right, while we're on the bikes, Paul McNamara took the win over Tony Ambrosini in the Modified Bike Eliminator. Simon, and I'm going to butcher this, Garbutt, took the championship over Jeff Smith, with Paul Newhoff running out in third spot. And it was only a few points in it, I think, between second and third. Nigel Johnson took the win over Maurice Brennan in the Blown Alcohol All-Stars, that saw a mix of top door slammers racing top alcohols on a staggered pro tree. Clay Glasby took the B win over John Zappia, and this finals berth for Zapp sealed the deal on the WA Top Door Slammer Championship, with Maurice Brennan edging out Daniel Gregorini for second spot. Now, I just got something to say about this, which is probably going to piss a lot of people off, right?
Yeah.
But this was brought to my attention by the McClures. It seems like no one wants to race the turbo cars. Just saying, because, you know, there's obviously, we saw the Door Slammer guys create their own bracket. With the, I think it was Summer Slam originally, and now it's the West Australian Top Door Slammer Championship.
Yep.
And now we're seeing this new class that was created called the Blown Alcohol All Stars.
Yeah.
Are they scared of those little? I mean, you know, Galotto's car's only a little 5 litre. You know, I don't know. Anyway. The Nitro Max class didn't disappoint, with multiple side-by-side five-second passes and the world's quickest Kiwi, Morris McMillan, taking the win over WA's own Shannon Taylor in the wild Speed Talk Altered, while the B finalist Andrew Katavardis took home the championship by 10 points over Shannon. The Nitro bike season finished up on the 23rd of March, with Benny Stevens taking top spot in front of Ricky Woods and Greg Durack, a well-deserving winner and an inspiration to so many. So if he wins the Australian Championship, that's, man, he's just been winning everything.
Yes, he's going extremely well, and good luck to him. He's performed extremely well.
Like I said, he's a big inspiration to so many people.
Yeah.
In Supercomp, Robbie Gaycourse got it done over Rick Johns' small block powered altered. But it was Matthew Puglia following in his father's footsteps with the championship win over Errol, and Todd Stacey coming in a close third.
Yeah.
Great to see him take over where his dad left off.
Yeah, definitely.
Last but not least, the Junior Dragster final was between Gabriella Dolan and Cooper Ashelford. Gabriella getting it done, and I'm sure making her mum very proud. But it was Seth Jarvis who took the championship by 20 points over Brock Ferguson, who by the narrowest of margins pushed Lucas Green, yes, Dougie's son, into third by just 2.5 points.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't get much closer than that. 23 kids competed for the WA Junior Dragster Championship this season, and they should all be very proud of themselves. Great to see the second and third generation participating in this awesome sport. In we already covered that. So the only other thing is, and I got told that I could talk about this. Before we go into that, this season has been great. The last three meetings down there have been bumper crowds, awesome racing, big turnouts by all the competitors, and I think next season it's just going to get better and better. But I have been told that I'm allowed to talk about this, so. Over the off season, there will be a three race season, I guess you could call it, which is being dubbed, I believe, Workshop Wars. You don't have to be, someone from a workshop, right? My understanding is that they will have one lane that is fully prepped for radials, and one lane fully prepped for slicks. Run what you brung, as long as it's Andrew legal. You know, if you need a roll cage, you need to have a roll cage. But there'll be more coming out shortly about it. As far as, like I said, I got the AOK to talk about it, so I hope I'm not.
Oh, there's a first on the podcast. That's awesome. That is something that I think a few people have had the desire to do, isn't it? The workshop sort of wars here in WA.
Yeah, it's more just to give people that want a license, that want to go and run their car. You know, guys like Rob that, you know, basically had to travel across the country to have a crack on a track to that level of prep.
Yeah.
So a bunch of us have tipped in money each, and that's going to cover the track preparation side of it. And it's going to be open to anyone. I believe the entries are going to be about $300, and you do as many runs as you want.
Well, that's not bad.
So I'm not 100% sure on those, but this is what the rough guideline that I was told was going to be. So it should be good for the off-season too. I'm going to try and get down there with the XY, hopefully, and finally see what it runs.
Good to see that.
So, yeah, that's it. That's interesting.
No, that's very good. Thank you.
What about the Camry?
Yeah, maybe the Camry.
One of each.
I got a phone call from a guy who's been heavily involved in drag racing in Australia in terms of supporting other teams, and he was hassling me about getting the Camry going again and getting it down there. He wants to do some promotional stuff with it because he just thinks it's the most hilarious thing that he's ever. seen. So, yeah, we might drag that out. But, I'd really like to do a lap in the XY. And it's the same amount of work whenever I get any of them down there. Because, you got to go get fuel, you got to change oil, you got to...
But you said there's three rounds?
Three meetings, yeah, yes. Cool. That's what I've been told. At this stage, like I said, I rang up my contact that's involved in this. And I said, is it all right for me to talk about it? And he said, no, go for it. We're going to make this happen. So I haven't got any dates yet.
Is it open to car clubs?
It'll be open to anyone. Like I said, providing your car meets the Andra safety standards, and if it requires a roll cage, logbook, safety, etc. But, anyone, as far as I know, you can go down there. And, look, I think that what's been missing in the past is there's been a limit on the number of cars, number one, and the second thing has been that no one's publicised it because, you know, they were trying to keep it as their own little, you know, Nostra Cosa, as we would say.
Cosa Nostra. It's our little thing. Yep. No, fair enough. All right, well, we'll look forward to keeping an eye on that. I think that's very interesting, and we'll, as we know more, make it available. We've discussed NHRA. We'll move on to Formula One. I was going to say, where do we think Carlos? Where does he pitch himself now in terms of he's out of a driver next year?
Well, it looks like he's going to Mercedes. Looks like that's Well, that's the consensus.
Is that a good place to go?
Well, the thing is, I think he's been offered a 2-year deal from Toto.
Yep.
And then he'll, who's the, Antonelli will slot in at Williams.
Yep.
And then after the 2 years, Sainz goes to Audi and Antonelli goes to Mercedes.
But he's a good driver.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a unique situation where the guy is getting the ass is actually winning races. That's a unique. I don't remember a scenario similar to this one previously, but anyway, it is very unique that the guy actually getting the sack is actually the one that's winning the races.
But is this like the difference between the Dockers and the Eagles?
I don't know.
Well, the Eagles held on to their old players, and now they get thrashed.
Yeah, well, it's a good point. Yeah, possibly.
The Dockers are always bringing in new young players.
Yep. It could well be. I just think it's interesting that Carlos is... I'm not saying they made a mistake getting rid of him, but I don't know. He's the one that's winning the races.
Definitely made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, well, probably not.
They made a mistake hiring Hamilton, that for starters. Yeah.
I think we're all agreed on that one.
And Leclerc.
Even the last race, Sainz, his strategy was better, but...
Making a lot of mistakes, Leclerc. Yeah, making a lot of mistakes.
Maybe he should be Leclerc.
Mm. Now that Alonso signed for Aston Martin, so there goes that one.
Yeah, that scenario is closed now.
So that's closed now. So realistically, what other options are there? The only variable is what Max does.
Yeah.
Like if he doesn't stay, that will be a chain reaction, I think.
But that variable has a lot to play out still. I think the Thailand family.
But how long do you wait before you sign something? Like, if let's just say there's a 2-year offer from Mercedes now to Sainz. What do? Do you wait?
Yeah.
Do you go to Red Bull, but you've got these new engines and all this sort of stuff happening in the next couple of years?
Yeah.
So, it's a big call.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you guys fill me in on what's going on at Red Bull?
I don't think
no one knows.
Probably about the same thing's going on at Erebus, if you ask me.
The Red Bull one's a little bit more cut and dry than Erebus, we don't know. But Red Bull, there's two warring factions that were at Red Bull. One's a 51% owner, which is a Thailand family, and I don't recall their names. My apologies. But they are very tight with Christian Horner. So they own 51% of Red Bull Racing. They're a Thailand family. And they're very tight with Christian Horner. The other 49% ownership of Red Bull is still an Austrian company, and they're very tight with Helmut Marko. So this is very strategic, the way what they're doing, and a lot of the dirt that was dragged up about Christian was allegedly from the Austrian side of the business.
Why would you mess with a formula that is working so good?
Well, it's just people's egos.
You see it happen all the time, though, Gons.
Yeah.
It always erupts somewhere. Oh. You know, it always blows out somewhere along the line.
It's tragic.
It was inevitable.
Mm. It's tragic because, you know, like, it's so perfect. Everything is so good there. And there's all these feathers getting ruffled. It's like,
It happens. I mean, not to mention my team, but if you look at Collingwood 2010... And then they did the succession plan with Eddie McGuire stepping in to try and keep Buckley. That cost them a premiership.
Mm, yeah.
Because it just ruffled, it created a division, and it probably cost them another premiership.
Mm,
it just happened. You see it happen all the time.
The other question, talking about good things coming to an end, Daniel Ricciardo. I know you wanted to have this discussion, so
feel bad because I mentioned that. I think I mentioned it twice this year already about poor Daniel.
You mentioned it before he even crashed at the last
and
race.
I pick on Daniel because, you know, Perth boy.
Did he say, oh, sorry, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, go on. Taking the window. Everyone's sales tonight, aren't you?
But that's jeez. That crash for the last race was, you know. Mm.
He's still going to.
His fault.
No, it wasn't, but he put the car in.
He drove himself to the accident.
He's still going to be on some massive retainer. He's still going to do all their promotional work. And, you know, guys, don't forget, that's why he was rehired.
No, I know, but, well, he's only got one round left now, isn't it? Wasn't there a rumour of a 3 rounds, you better shape up or ship out?
It's only a rumour, but I think he's going to
He's contracted, so.
Yeah.
He's just going to stay and sign autographs and hang out with the hot chicks.
Yeah. Good luck to him.
Doesn't sound like a bad job to me.
God bless him. God bless him. Hey, and the calendar's changing for next year. But I always thought, I didn't think this was news, but it got released that it was news that I always thought that in 2025 we had the opening race. Correct. So why has this been, like, it came out as news? It didn't seem, I guess us talking about it is making it news. But
yeah, I don't know. You think that, with what's going on over there, that this is going to stay like that?
Yeah.
Simon is circling the Bahrain and Saudi Arabia race.
Well, you know.
Anyway, there's a lot to play out there, but anyway,
it's good to see it back at the start.
Yeah.
I think it just complements that championship.
We'll have a race before the end of the world, is what you.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Ferrari will win.
They've won a few times. The first race of the year.
They have.
Yeah, they've got good odds are in our favour. That's for sure.
Yeah. I will just quickly discuss
supercars.
Nothing really to discuss here. That Brody has backflipped on his original statement, and he's going back to he never made a statement. So
he never made a statement. I don't understand. This is he just had a break.
Anyway, the news
why are you
here
guys trying to make something out of it.
This is the big news for me. Wasn't Brody going back? Actually, the big news for me was David Russell going to premier for the Enduros. That's a major loss to that team.
Yeah.
I don't think they realise. Well, I'm sure they do. But Betty Klimenko and Barry losing David Russell to premier. Well done, Peter Zibris, for securing David Russell. He has to be the best driver out there in terms of Enduro.
This is because they're going to keep Hazelwood there?
I believe so.
But
still, I don't think... yeah, I don't...
He brought the sponsorship in. Sure, you owe him something.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
So we still don't know what happened there?
No.
No? Never going to find out?
No. And that's a good pairing, James Golding and Dave Russell at Bathurst. If I'm not a betting man, but if there's a bookkeeper taking odds at the moment, you probably get good odds for that pairing at right now.
Can you imagine Zibaris if they win Bathurst?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Oh, bro.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Anyway, so Brody's back, and they're racing at Taupo. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Taupo.
Where's that? New Zealand.
This week.
And then we're going to wait 6 months for the next one.
No, it's not. It's only a month. It's only a month.
Perth, yeah.
17th and 18th.
They go from New Zealand to Perth.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. In a month's time.
They're coming via boat.
It's close.
No, it'll be plane. It's plane. They go through. Actually, they talked about how the process of the cars going to New Zealand and coming back. It was really interesting, actually. You'd be surprised how much they have to break the car down or clean before it goes there and before it comes back, just from a biosecurity point of view.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and it goes on a pallet, which gets...
It's like a container specifically made for them.
Yeah, it's specific for the car, and So it was quite interesting to listen to. I can't remember who was that podcast, but it was quite interesting.
It'd be good to see old Cuzzy Bro there at the customs with the steam cleaner. You know? Just going to get this off here, eh, bro?
Hey, did any of you guys catch that X-Men? Well, I didn't catch it. Johnny told us about it. But closest race in history, Ryan Sieg, I think that's how you pronounce his name, is Sam Mayer. One of the closest Xfinity races finishes in history. 0.002 seconds.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's basically... You couldn't pick it.
They were bumping too, like.
Yeah, they were bumping going into that.
But, what do they got? A laser across the track or something?
They had a photo finish, and you could just see it like that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it was basically an inch. Yep. So congratulations to Sam Mayer for winning that race, and that same weekend before, I don't know if you guys caught. I actually watched most of Cam Waters' race in the truck race. He would have been sore after that event, I reckon. He was at the back the whole time, just getting bashed from pillar to post. It was rough. It was rough, and in the end, he stove the whole front end of the car in. Wasn't his fault, I don't think, but
his teammate, didn't he?
It was a DNF at the end, so it was a late tangle. So, yep. All right.
MotoGP, did you see that?
No.
I didn't either. I need to figure out how to watch this.
I didn't watch it live, but I went back and watched the highlights, and we definitely got to watch this a bit more often because
but it always has been. It's always
It is. But even the comments, they go, "This is like a Moto3 race." And you know how they condense a highlights package? Well, you couldn't condense this. You just have to show the whole race because every lap, something was happening. But if you look at it, Vinales did the three pole, sprint, and the race win.
Oh,
all three in the Aprilia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
in an Aprilia.
In Aprilia, yeah. And Marquez was leading the race on...
Well, that's no good.
Yeah.
We need to sort that out.
And then he dropped it. And he dropped it.
Oh, it sorted itself out.
So that was good.
Didn't see any of it at all. So that was in the middle of the night, wasn't it?
The racing is like Moto3. Yeah. It was like ridiculous.
Have we discussed that, what do you call it, media's bought them?
No, we haven't.
Yes. We haven't discussed it. Not
we mentioned
anyway.
It. Yeah, I know what you're on about. Yeah.
Liberty Media.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
I mean, if I was Liberty Media, I'd be securing that for sure.
Yeah, but do you think it's going to be good for... Because the Spaniards ran it a particular way, you know, and I don't know that Liberty Media...
Look, I mean, I don't know. I think time will tell, but I can understand their want and desire for it, for sure.
Yeah, I just hope they don't ruin it because...
It doesn't need to be touched, really.
No. I'll say, maybe they just might do...
Glass cabinet.
You know what I mean?
If it ain't broke, don't fix. It makes us money, leave it alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think Liberty Media works like that.
I was being hopeful. You know what I mean?
I think they
You're
go.
You're probably right. I don't think.
If this makes money, we can make more.
Yeah. Yeah.
What
they've done with Formula One, I think, I was very much doubtful. I was waiting for NASCAR.
But it's not far off. With all those driver introductions and all that sort of, it's got a tinge of NASCAR about it.
But I think they've kind of, because it's a classy thing, and they've kept it, you know, like that. But it scares me because, you know, the thing about MotoGP that I think that makes it so special is that you really appreciate the. What's the word I'm trying to find here?
It's just raw, raw. It's like there's nothing. There's no pit stops. The variables are the same for everyone, but, you know, so... And it's just all out. I mean, the tyre deg is a bit of a thing, but other than that, and I mean, that doesn't, I mean, Jack Miller, Jesus, we've got no hope for an Aussie at the moment. He just can't stay up the front. Can qualify up the top, but four laps in, just starts going backwards.
Yeah.
Whereas the other boys,
How's Gardner's
sorry,
son?
Just to go back, Vinales dropped from pole to 11th, and he's still on the race.
Jeez.
That's how good this race was.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
What was the crowd like? Because it was at Coda, so it's a big track.
Yeah, look, I didn't take much notice, to be honest, Nick.
Yeah, it's a big
but
track.
But that always looks a bit sparse there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
when you look at it, because the track's so wide and big.
In a place that can hold close to 300,000 people, even a crowd of 100,000 looks sparse there. But, yeah, it's a big, big track, that one.
Do yourself a favour, just watch that highlight package of that one.
No, would you guys go to Phillip Island? Because I'd go again in a heartbeat.
I've never been, and I want. It's on my bucket list.
Oh, it's killer.
It's just
on my bucket list. Nick and I talked about it.
They're okay.
Like every year we talk about it, don't we?
Even, or KL's. KL, Sepang's good too.
Yeah, I've actually got mates that...
That's the Malaysian?
Yeah, yeah. Sepang, yeah.
They reckon it's cheaper to go to Sepang.
Yeah, that's right. And every 2 years, I think, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do this thing called the Ducati Drive Ride Day, and you pay whatever it is, and you don't bring anything. They supply all the leathers, the helmet...
Yeah.
And they'll have the brand new lineup, and you ride around the track.
I think you can do that anytime there too. It's not the Ducati run, but if you want to do just like a, if you just want to do that, they've got super bikes there, and you can just sign up, and it's just like a rent everything.
Yeah,
I know the one you're talking about too.
Yeah,
I like to see Nick in some leathers. So.
We have to oil him up.
Unlikely that's going to happen. I can't imagine myself on a motorbike, to be honest. Still have bad memories from my friend's RGV, so... Anyway.
I'm going to take you for a ride, Nick.
No, I'm pass, thanks. What else have we got here? Speed Series. I saw a little bit of the Trans Am race.
I just know
which
that
was actually better than any supercar race this year. It was pretty awesome, actually. The TA2 cars. They are awesome. I love them.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Just they have a couple of brain fades, that's all. Those guys just get a bit. Sometimes they go a bit.
Fumes must make their way into the cabin.
Yeah, they just get like a.
It goes from TA2 to NASCAR sometimes, real quick.
Yeah, it does. And it just
the H pattern.
Yeah, let's bang doors. Oh, hang on, we can't. Or,
there's been some even over the past few rounds of being like, come on, guys, like really, but I didn't. That's all I saw, but it was live on Channel 7 again, so that's awesome to see.
Yeah, he's leaving, isn't he?
Who's that?
What's his name? The CEO. I think he's the CEO of Seven. And...
Oh, James Warburton.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that. Yeah. I wasn't aware of that.
I believe I read somewhere that he was. He was pulling the pin, and I thought, I wonder if he's going to pursue this instead.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was part shareholder of this as well.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. James Warburton's shareholder of ARG. I don't know how much of it he has. All right, anything else from you guys?
Nope.
No.
All right, well, on that note then, we'll finish up this podcast. So, best of luck, Johnny. I don't know if we will talk to you before you go to MotorX.
Any car shows coming up?
There is... we just had Classic Cars and Coffee on the weekend.
I meant to tell you. Yeah, you go. And I'll, no, that's I'll, all. I'll, oh, I went to Kebabs... And coffee.
Kebabs and cars.
Kebabs and cars.
All right.
What a turnout.
I heard. That was the Saturday before Mac. So
where was that?
At Shannon's in Cannington.
Hello
to James. You probably are listening. You were there on the night. I know you have a new role now, but you were working as hard as ever. I tried to talk to you 3 or 4 times, and you were like, just walk and talk. So I did. hats off to Lloyd, who now is doing James's job. Lloyd...
James is a top bloke.
Oh, James and Lloyd, and I'm pretty sure I can say this, Lloyd, for those that you don't know, used to run Perth Auto Salon back in the day.
Oh, really?
And he was completely blown away by the numbers that attended.
Yeah, it was a big show. I heard it was massive.
I took the blade just for something different, and I've only had it back for a couple of weeks, and it's all clean. We went early, a friend of mine and I, and we still spent a good 10 minutes trying to get in, and they were basically, unfortunately, turning some cars away by 6 o'clock when it officially started. And, yeah, and from what I understand, good effort. There wasn't many problems with the crowd, like there wasn't burnouts and stupidity, which is impressive. And, yeah, the calibre of cars, like the JDM alone was huge. A lot of hot rods, like old Australian muscle, like it was a good turnout for a lot of different cars.
That's great.
They are planning, I believe, on running another one, but unfortunately, even though it's once they want to hold it at Shannon's, it's just so massive that what do you do? But,
yeah, because the car park, it's a big car park, that one. It's pretty big, but it is limited in bays, I guess. Yeah.
And the Dan Murphys, I think, was upset because the Dan Murphys, it's open, you know. I want to go there and get me a new export for the night. I can't. Anyway.
They would have been aware of the
show. Oh, they were. Massive night. So I said hats off to the guys at Shannon's.
They'll have to start having it at like, you know, big ovals, I guess.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But
this time of the year is footy season and soccer season. Yeah. So.
Speaking of car shows, did you guys read the GM Owners Days?
No, I was devastated.
Yeah, I was happy about that.
Yeah.
Even the Ford guys. I entered that with my Camaro one point.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll look at, in terms of car shows coming up, I think it all starts tapering down now.
Yeah.
We better call it.
Oh, no. This is all the editing to go here.
And hang on. This was
editing is done in the last 5 minutes.
It was nice doing Talking Power with you guys. I think we've lost all our sponsors and all our listeners, except the, our 37 drag racing friends. So, I guess I'll be seeing you.
Except for the 6 top fuel drives.
So we're going to be doing this every 6 months now, if we're lucky, from Nick's basement. Nah. Yeah, no worries.
Nick's going to do a chop, and we'll be all good.
That's it. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming in, and we'll catch you in a couple of weeks. All the best.
See ya.
See ya.